Hour number three of our radio program. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Drew Tranquil of the Kansas City. How about those Chiefs? Going to stop by 20 minutes from now, getting set for the AFC Championship game in Baltimore this upcoming weekend. You got Chiefs at Ravens. We have the Lions at the San Francisco 49ers. The Final Four, as we will await to see who is going to be going to the Super Bowl in Vegas 2 weeks from now. So Jeremy Fowler of ESPN talked to some league executives anonymously, NFL executives, and they made some predictions for this upcoming offseason. There is one prediction in particular that I'm very curious if Stuart Kovacs would be in or out on, and that is the prediction that Russell Wilson will wind up with the Las Vegas Raiders. Stu, let's just say about 2 months from now, we got a breaking news alert that Russell Wilson is signing with the Las Vegas Raiders. That's assuming he gets released from the Denver Broncos. But I don't think anybody is actually thinking that Russell Wilson could be back in Denver, and it's probably heading towards a release. So let's say the domino falls that he gets released from the Broncos, and then he signs with the Raiders on a cheap deal in terms of the quarterback market. Would you be down for it?
I would be down for it. I was just going to say it depends the money that they would pay him. Like, they can't pay Russell Wilson like some of the contracts Russell Wilson has been getting.
Yeah.
They physically can't do it.
Well, no one's going to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's a team-friendly deal, probably a short-term deal, yeah, I'm all for that because I think he would be an upgrade over Garoppolo, O'Connell, or really anybody else they can realistically get.
Now, I won't say who the person is, but I did talk to someone that knows Russell Wilson. And this was going back to the day that this whole thing did go down with the Denver Broncos when he got benched.
Was it Ciara?
No, I did not talk to Ciara.
Dang.
Sean Marash may have down the hall because that guy once thought that Ciara was hitting on Sean Marash because that's what someone of Ciara's fame does, hit on a radio producer who at the time, Marash has lost some weight. He's looking good. But at the time, Mraz was, how do you say it in a nice way, a portly fella?
That was the exact word I was going to use.
Yeah.
All right.
Little husky guy.
Big boned?
I wouldn't call Mraz big boned. I would not call him big boned. But the person said to me, and we talked about a few destinations, but the person just went out of their way to tell me, you got to remember that the contract is going to be on the cheap. And someone is going to be getting Russ on the cheap because of the fact he still owed a lot of money from the Denver Broncos. Like, that contract hasn't even started on the extension yet with the Denver Broncos. So there is a lot of guaranteed money. Spencer Stakes says a good word for Mraz would be rotund. Not wrong. That's actually maybe the best word. But with how much money he's owed, I do believe the landing spot is more important to Russ than in terms of what the contract is going to be. Because if you just go take a money grab and go to the highest bidder, you could do that. But if you go to a crappy destination and can't turn your career around, then your NFL career is closer to being over than it is being able to continue for the next few years. Like, the next destination is really make or break on Russell Wilson. And I do believe that the destination is going to be more important than in terms of who's just going to give him the most money per year. And I look at a team like Minnesota. I think Minnesota could be in play. If you need a stopgap guy in Atlanta, that could be in play as well. And the Raiders, like, the Raiders could trade up in the draft to go get their guy. But I think that's easier said than done, especially when the first three picks are probably going to be quarterbacks this year, in some order of Williams, May, and Daniels, and the first three teams, at least the Commanders and the Patriots, need a quarterback, and I do think the Bears are going to trade Justin Fields. So I do believe that the Bears are going to be drafting a quarterback with the number one overall pick. Whether you think that's right or wrong, that's a different conversation. But as long as it's, like, Stu, a two-year deal, would you be okay with that? Like, if I tell you it's a two-year, $18 million a year type of deal? Would that work for you?
Yeah, that's very, I was thinking somewhere around that, high teens, low 20s. I think that's very fair for 2 years.
Like definitely. Maybe if it's 2 years, $30 million, that's $15 million a year with incentives to make it up to $40, $45 million. You know, yeah. I think that would be a bargain where, here's the thing with Russ. Russ was never going to live up to that contract after the first year in Denver. And there were more signs than we thought about the decline of Russ going into Denver, where we should have just known that everyone thought Pete Carroll was this stubborn old guy. He was right, and he was the closest to Russ, and he realized that Russ wasn't going to be the same player where Russ thought he was going to be and what Russ thought he was. But this past year, what gets lost in all this is not that Russell Wilson was great, not that Russell Wilson like looked like a top 10 quarterback, and I know that you couldn't play any worse, but he was a lot better than where he was in year one. And I thought what was a gross miscalculation on Russell Wilson and his part was the destination he went out to was not a good destination. Like when Jerry Jeudy is your best wide receiver and you had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, that's a big-time fall-off. Like, I'd rather have DK Metcalf over Jerry Jeudy. I'd rather have Tyler Lockett over Jerry Jeudy. And I don't even think it's a debate. Like, Jerry Jeudy thinks he's a stud. Jerry Jeudy, at best, with what we've seen so far in the NFL, is a 1.5. Like, he's not a 1. He's not an NFL number 1 wide receiver. He's probably a number 2 wide receiver. He thinks he's a 1. He thinks he's a star. And I think he was the guy that got into it with Steve Smith on that sideline, too, this year, which was wild. But you got to start playing to the level that you're capable of. And the Broncos didn't have a lot around Russell Wilson. So you put Russ with Davante Adams. Maybe you get Josh Jacobs back. But even if you don't, you could find a running back. I don't think that's the worst destination in the world for Russell Wilson. Like, if I'm Russ, I'm hoping to go to Minnesota. Because you have Justin Jefferson. I know he's coming off an injury, but you have TJ Hockenson. You got Jordan Addison as well. I do believe that Minnesota is the best destination, but that would require them moving off of Kirk Cousins. And I think that the Vikings went into this year saying, we expect this to be the last year of Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. But then when Kirk Cousins gets hurt and you go through the Josh Dobbs experience, the Jaren Hall experience, the Nick Mullins experience as well, that you go, wow, maybe we didn't appreciate Kirk Cousins enough, who Kirk Cousins is good, but he ain't great. You could do better than Kirk Cousins, but to someone like a Kevin O'Connell and a Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, newer to the Minnesota Vikings organization, do they maybe want to go out and get their own guy? And I would say that at the end of the year, I thought Kirk Cousins would be back, but just with the way that it feels around the league, I think most people are bracing that Kirk Cousins is going to be a free agent. You know, who is a free agent is going to be going somewhere else. And even Kirk himself threw out the possibility of teaming up with Bill Belichick. So that leads us to the next Jeremy Fowler prediction. Kirk Cousins, and this is from league or NFL executives, Kirk Cousins and Bill Belichick will be Falcons and will win the NFC South. You know, I wonder if the Bardo meter and the NFL executives both just listen to this show to formulate their opinions. Because I said that a week and a half ago, that Belichick lands in Atlanta, Kirk Cousins lands in Atlanta, and the two of them combined will win the NFC South. Now, for Kirk Cousins, like, I do think you'd rather prefer to stay in Minnesota, but if Minnesota doesn't want you, it gets into the same conversation about Russell Wilson, and Kirk is more attractive than Russell Wilson, even coming off the Achilles injury, and Kirk Cousins is a better player than Russell Wilson as we enter the year of 2024. Yeah, a lot of the same destinations for Kirk Cousins, for Russell Wilson will be there for Kirk Cousins. And you know what will end up popping back up? Like, let's say the 49ers lose this weekend to the Lions. Let's just say that. And let's say Brock Purdy is the reason why they lose. Even though a lot of people think in San Francisco Brock Purdy is the guy, you know Kyle Shanahan, who coached Kirk Cousins, has tried a lot of times to get Kirk Cousins to San Francisco. And even last year, when Brock Purdy had a really good end to the season before getting hurt, you had Kyle Shanahan, according to Brock Purdy, pursuing Tom Brady. So even though Brock Purdy's looking really well right now, the loyalty of Kyle Shanahan can switch in a snap of a finger. And I would not rule out Kirk Cousins being the 49ers quarterback next year. Because for Kirk, you'd have to take less. Because Kirk's in a position to ask for what he wants. Like Russell Wilson isn't. But for Kirk Cousins, you're in a position to ask for what you want. Now, you could look at it and say, the only thing I'm missing, I made all the money that I had and that anyone could ever imagine. The only thing I'm missing is a Super Bowl. Well, the team that would give you the best chance out of maybe realistic options, and some may say San Francisco is an unrealistic option, is San Francisco. So are you willing to take an enormous pay cut to go to San Francisco where you have a Christian McCaffrey, you have Deebo Samuel, you have Brandon Ayuk, you have Kittle, and you try to go get the one thing that's missing really in your NFL career, and that's a Super Bowl championship? Now, there's a lot of ifs to that. First, you need Brock Purdy to be the reason why the 49ers lose. And even with that being said, that may not even be enough to get Brock Purdy out of San Francisco. But Kyle Shanahan, he has been playing quarterback roulette the last few years. And it doesn't seem like he has any formula. He just rides who he thinks is the hot hand. So those are some predictions made by NFL executives talking to Jeremy Fowler. Russell Wilson will end up with the Raiders, and then Kirk Cousins will wind up with Bill Belichick in Atlanta. Now, there were a few more predictions made here. Baker Mayfield will re-sign with the Bucs. I could absolutely see that one happening, and it should happen for both parties. C.J. Stroud will finish top three in MVP voting. I don't think that is far-fetched. Like, could there be some regression in Houston? Yes. But, like, if I'm the Texans, I'm having a monster offseason this year. You don't have a lot on offense around C.J. Stroud. Yeah, Tank Dell got hurt. Nico Collins is solid. But you could still argue that you need a number one wide receiver. Like, Nico Collins played the number one wide receiver role for them this year. But if you go get a bona fide and already proven number one wide receiver, could you then imagine what C.J. Stroud's going to do next year? And I said this the other week, and I'll say it again. I think C.J. Stroud enters next year as a top five quarterback in the league. I do. Mahomes, in no order, Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, Allen, and then the fifth spot would be C.J. Stroud. And I would like people to argue who should move in front of C.J. Stroud. What, Rodgers coming off an Achilles? I can't go Herbert right now. You know, maybe you have a case for Jalen Hurts, but I can't go Jalen Hurts right now either. A league executive also predicted the Cardinals will make a playoff run. That's like a sneaky team. Because that team, they played hard for Jonathan Gannon this year with not a lot of talent. And now you're going to get a full year out of Kyler Murray. And in the NFC, what, you need 9 wins to probably get the next wild card spot? And then the other prediction was the 49ers will take a slight step back. No NFL team has had more star power than the 49ers, who have built a perennial winner under head coach Kyle Shanahan and general manager John Lynch. But multiple league executives have pointed out the organization has experienced some brain power attrition. Personal execs have left for general manager jobs in back-to-back years. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, Rand Carthon, and Adam Peters. And executive Ethan, I can't pronounce the last name, also left in 2022 to become the Jaguars' assistant general manager. That's a lot for Lynch to overcome, an NFC executive said. They could get exposed in free agency in the draft. The only thing I think derails the 49ers for the next year or two would be injuries. They'll take a slight step back is saying something. Well, maybe they won't be the team to beat in the NFC. That's the way that you justify it. So those are some predictions being made from league executives right now around the NFL. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'll answer this question before we get off the air, but I did a radio hit today as I do a weekly spot on 560 WQAM with Channing Crowder and Mark Hochman. They do a really good radio show. And they said to me, if you were doing a draft tomorrow, we give you these five quarterbacks, who would be 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? The five quarterbacks were Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow. How would you order those guys 1 through 5? I'll give you my answer coming up in about 30 minutes from now at 5:40 p.m. Eastern, 2:40 p.m. Pacific. But first, we will take a timeout because when we come on back, Drew Tranquil had a really good game up against the Buffalo Bills. He started his career with the Los Angeles Chargers, getting drafted out of Notre Dame. And this offseason, he found his way to Kansas City when he was a free agent. Now he's playing for the Chiefs, is 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl. He's jumped on with us a bunch throughout the years. Always loved talking with Drew Tranquil, and he's going to join us when we return in 5 minutes to get you set for the Chiefs AFC Championship game for the sixth straight season. This time, though, the Chiefs will be on the road. They'll be going to Baltimore, going up against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Drew Tranquil next on the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. The Kansas City Chiefs, death taxes, and the Chiefs being in the AFC title game for their sixth straight year. They are in the AFC title game, going up against the Baltimore Ravens this time and headed on the road to go to Baltimore this Sunday. Drew Tranquil has been a part of the Chargers organization from 2019 to 2022, and this past offseason elected to sign on board with the Kansas City Chiefs, and he should be playing a major factor in this AFC title game, and he's kind enough to jump on board with us right now. Drew, first off, congratulations. Always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for doing this, and how you been?
Zach, I've been great. It's good to see you again, and hope everything's well on your end, man. Super excited. Obviously, my first time in the AFC title game, but there's a lot of energy, a lot of good vibes around the building, and we're excited to go play a really good football team in Baltimore.
Yeah, how is this for you internally when you hear that the Chiefs are going to be in the AFC title game? Because nothing against the Chargers, but they just always have that feel of having a talented roster and just not getting the job done in the playoffs. To now go to a team where the standard is every year to win a Super Bowl, to be playing in this AFC title game on Sunday and knowing that that is now a reality, just what are the emotions that it elicits for you?
Well, I know my wife and my little boy and my girls and myself, we're super excited. It'll be our first time, like I mentioned, but just a seasoned group, a group that's been really got the Super Bowl, and so there's just so much to learn from the coaches and the players in this building, and I'm certainly grateful to be a part of this team and organization, and there'll be a lot of good energy there on Sunday afternoon.
I got to take you back to the last round. Man, that was some scene in Buffalo last Sunday. What a classic game once again between the Bills and the Chiefs, but it looked like you were having some fun there at the end with the Bills Mafia fans that were throwing snowballs at you, which was just crazy.
Yeah, they were hurling them. I felt like a kid, man. It's one of those things where it's like, man, football is awesome. It is. It's so awesome. It unifies people in a way that not many things in life does, can do. And it was really cool to silence that crowd and get around. Obviously, their players were chirping a lot early in the week about home field advantage, this, that, and the other. And I felt finally having to go there. And to win that game, of course, I think really just brought us closer and helped us build more confidence as we keep this thing going here.
Talking to Drew Tranquil right now from the Kansas City Chiefs. They're getting set to go up against the Ravens in the AFC title game on Sunday. The fake punt. I saw some inside the NFL clip that Nick Bolton was saying to you guys, be aware of the fake punt. You know, there's a possibility it was coming. I know you were on the field for it. Did you guys sense that fake punt was going to happen, that the Bills elected to run on 4th and 5 with DeMar Hamlin?
Well, I mean, you certainly sense that the offenses both on both sides were rolling. and the defenses, every stop you could get was critical and crucial. And so we were able to kind of bow up there, create a fourth and five. And certainly that's a situation when your antennas are up. Our guys, you know, we only had 10 guys on the field, I think, but the guys that were in there, you know, we did a great job of recognizing it. Their communication was a little bit different than it was in their typical pump pro. And I think some guys picked up on that. We picked up on the snapper's hands, kind of a little softer on the ball, and he kind of, his touch on his snap was a little bit different. And so those subtle things right before the ball is snapped can kind of trigger you, but guys just executed well and we were able to get the stop there.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked that they elected to run it. I get what you're saying, and obviously you guys wish you had 11 guys on the field, but it didn't matter either way. But like I look at that, if you're going to go for it, you may as well just put the ball in the hands of Josh Allen and just line you up. Like I would rather have Josh Allen with the ball in his hands with 11 guys on the defense than running a fake punt, especially the way they ran it. I just thought it was such a low percentage play, even though you guys only had 10 guys on the field. I was shocked by it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been caught by a couple of fakes this year. Our punt team or our punt return team has. We hit the Chargers a couple weeks ago on really a similar concept. We ran it to the right, I think. But you'd be surprised, man, that direct snap, especially when a team books you for being in a six or seven box. I mean, they had to look. We had 10 guys on the field. I think we had 5 guys in the box. They certainly had the numbers, and our guys just out-physicaled and out-executed them. And we were able to kind of cut the edge off and make them cut it back. But, you know, the timing, you can catch teams off guard, and that can be a special weapon. I know our team has certainly used it this season, and we've used it in the past, and Coach Tobe really likes that play. But, yeah, I mean, you've got a great quarterback in Josh Allen. I think when you put it out there in fourth and five and go for it, you know, I don't know what the percentages are there, but I think we had 3 good snaps on defense back-to-back. So, you know, it's something if they hit it and they get it, you know, they're super smart. And if they don't get it, it's something that's obviously going to be in question.
I remember talking to your defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, back in like week 3. And I said, man, you guys really have something this year on defense. And I don't think you guys are getting enough national recognition. And Spags is like, that's right where we want them. Everyone focus on the offense. Just leave us alone. We'll keep on doing what we do. How about the confidence of this group? Because in the second half, I know in the first half didn't exactly go your way, but really that second half to hold that Buffalo team to only 1 touchdown in the second half, the final 30 minutes of play, is really a remarkable achievement.
Well, I think we have great chemistry and confidence as a unit. I think we've got a lot of guys with some experience, a lot of veteran leadership, and a really player-driven group that kind of just flies around. And so, you know, something that we've been great at all season is making halftime adjustments. I think you look even in the Bengals game a few weeks ago, I think we gave up 17 points in the first half. The Chargers game comes to mind. The first time we played them in Arrowhead, I think week 6 or 7, gave up 17 points. And then we've played really good second half defense. I think that's a testament to Spags and our coaching staff, all the position coaches to, you know, huddling up and making the right adjustments at halftime. And then us as players not turning on each other and just kind of being unified and playing stout team unit defense in the second half, which we certainly did this past Sunday and needed to win that game. And so that's going to be really important, obviously, in Baltimore. You never know how these games go. I mean, we could get up 2 scores on them. You know, we talk about it every Saturday night before the game. You got to be ready for the extremes. You can get up 2 scores and you got to keep the foot on the pedal. Or you could go down 2 scores and you can't start chirping at one another and turning on each other. You got to come together and start playing consistent unit defense. So that'll be important, whatever the outcome or however the game starts on Sunday for us.
Drew Tranquil here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I was watching Good Morning Football earlier this AM, and they were doing a segment like underrated players that could play a major impact in the game on Sunday. And Peter Schrager brought you up. And I think he's dead on because of his athleticism. I think you're going to have a big role one way or another going up against Lamar and the Ravens. So how do you kind of make about those comments and what could be asked of you this week up against Lamar and the Ravens? Drew, you still there? I think we had trouble getting you there. You got what I said? What I said?
Yeah, can you hear me, Zach?
Yeah, we got you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's an honor. Peter's obviously great at what he does, and I appreciate that praise from him. But, man, I look across our entire defense. We've got speed across the board. You talk about myself. You talk about Willie Gay. You talk about Leo Chenal, Nick Bolton. You talk about Trent McDuffie, L'Jarius Sneed, Jalen Watson, Josh Williams, Justin Reed. You know, everybody in our secondary can fly around on our second levels. We got defensive ends that play well. So Lamar is obviously special. He can make people miss in the open field. But we're going to have some opportunities to make some big plays Sunday, and we're going to have to do that when the opportunity comes.
You don't have to prepare to go up against Patrick Mahomes because he's your teammate. You used to have to do that when you were with the Chargers. When you look at the rest of the league, just because of that ability to run like no other and then also throw the football too that Lamar has, is he the toughest quarterback for you in football to just prepare for?
Well, I haven't played him yet, Zach, but certainly when you look at the tape and what he's able to do, throwing the ball, running the ball, everybody knows he's as dynamic a runner as there is in the NFL, whether you want to talk about running backs or quarterbacks, he's as dynamic as they come. He can make guys miss. He's got the speed, the top-end speed to go the distance. But I think something that jumps out to me and our players and our coaches early on is how much he's developed in the pocket, his patience as a passer, his ability and willingness to take checkdowns when they come and not just, you know, run around. And so he's a great player. He's going to be tough to stop.
I know that you talked about this year and what it's like going from the Chargers to the Chiefs, but after being right in the same division and going up against them for the last few years, now to be in the same locker room as a Mahomes and a Kelsey and learn from Andy Reid as a head coach, just how was that initially when you first walked into that locker room, going from enemy to, I know it's part of the business, to then just being one of them in Kansas City?
Yeah, it took time. It was weird walking in the first day. It's like, man, what am I doing here? I've been going against these guys, you know, two times a year for the past 4 years. But slowly, it's just become a brotherhood. I mean, those guys are really good friends of mine. The competitive greatness in this building, the competitive stamina to go through OTAs, through training camp, through a long preseason, season and postseason, year in and year out. I mean, these guys really do strive to be the best, and the best in the National Football League, the best in the world. And I've certainly learned a lot from the likes of, you know, Andy and Patrick and Travis and Chris. And, you know, you go down the list of all the number of great players and coaches we have, and even our ownership. And you talk about Brett Veach in the front office. Everybody's just kind of built different here. And there's a championship culture, and that takes time to build. And, you know, they've obviously built it here. And it's special when you get to be around it.
So we always know the Chiefs are in the spotlight. When you're the team everyone's hunting, you're going to get attention like no other. And then all of a sudden, Travis Kelce starts dating Taylor Swift, and then that attention just gets put on steroids pretty much, Drew Tranquil. What has that been like, being in that locker room with all the extra attention now with the whole Taylor Swift-Travis Kelce relationship?
It's interesting. You don't really feel it and hear too much of it inside the locker room. But it'll be moments like at practice when Kunal, our DJ, turns on a Taylor Swift song and everybody kind of, you know, jokes about it. I think the wives and the girlfriends, I hear about it more when I go home than I do actually in the building. But it's been fun, man. It's, you know, that's something to celebrate, something fun. And, you know, we enjoy poking fun at Travis, but it seems like maybe they're in love, man. They got really, really something going, and we enjoy having her at our games. It brings a lot of energy and a lot of fun to our fans. And so that's good for business, good for football, and good for the NFL.
You expected an invite to that wedding eventually, right?
We'll see, man. We'll see. I think there's going to be a lot of people that want to go to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we let Drew Tranquil run, you talked a little bit about Mahomes. You know, some people believe that he'll end up being the greatest quarterback of all time whenever it's all said and done. Just how about the greatness that you see day in and day out after going up against it for so many years and then now being a part of it, seeing it day in and day out in that locker room?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine being in his shoes and, you know, people talking about the greatest of all time and all the pressure that could be put on somebody like that. But he handles it with such grace, and to be in the pressure cooker in those moments, you go into Buffalo on your first, you know, road playoff game and everybody's, oh, can he do this? Can he do that? And to have the performance that he did, and you know, the moment never seems too big for him. He's super level headed. He's consistent in everything he does, from what he wears out to practice to his routines. And I think whenever you have consistency in your routine like that, and you have somebody who's as hungry and competitive as he is, you can have the competitive stamina and the competitive greatness to achieve the things that he's done. And obviously it takes a special player, and he is that, but he's got all the intangible, I think, you know, that you're looking for in terms of somebody being great. So I'm glad he's on my team. Put it that way.
Yeah, I know that you're real focused on the AFC Championship game, and you know what happens if you guys win this, you go to the Super Bowl. Like, naturally, do you find yourself throughout the week just, like, thinking, man, we win this game, we're in the Super Bowl, or is just all the focus is only on the Ravens? Like, when you get a moment just to yourself, does that thought creep into your head, wow, we're really 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl?
I mean, I think it definitely fuels you. I mean, that's what you're striving for every week is your, you know, the end goal is to hoist that Lombardi trophy, and every game is a step in that direction. I think the closer you get to it, the more hungry you get. But it, you know, you learn as a competitor and as a player in this league, the second you look past even a moment or a drive, a series or a half or a game, like, players are too good. Teams, coaches are too good in this league, and you'll get beat. You really, it's a league where you have to focus on the present moment. And if you don't, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. So that excitement is certainly there internally, but man, all, you know, mentally you have to remind yourself, like, in terms of your preparation, like, we got to beat the Ravens. We got to do every little thing, every small detail that we can to maximize, you know, our opportunity to win.
Well, good luck. I really do appreciate you carving out some time for us. I know it's a busy week. Thanks so much for doing this, and have a great game on Sunday.
Hey, thanks, Zach. We'll see you guys.
You got it. There he is, Drew Tranquil from the Kansas City Chiefs. Always love when he jumps on board with us on CBS Sports Radio. All righty, we will take a timeout. When we come on back, I was asked this question today on the Crowder and Hockman show, Hockman and Crowder on 560 WQAM. Herbert, Love, Hurts, Tua, Burrow. You're drafting tomorrow, 1 through 5. How do you order those guys? That's what we will end the show out with. But first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All right, this is Zach Yelp's show on CBS Sports Radio. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. And it's brought to you by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Matt in Framingham says, Zach, if Bill Belichick does not coach next season, should he get a TV try? Hashtag Ask the Pros on Twitter. You could always submit the question at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. You could submit it there. You could also submit it at CBS Sports Radio. Make sure you use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think Bill Belichick can do TV. I don't know if I would love him, though, on TV. Like, he won an Emmy, and I think it was him who won the Emmy. Hopefully no one submitted a different name and just gave the trophy to Bill Belichick. But the show did win the Emmy for, it was him, Rich Eisen, the NFL Top 100, to honor, right, 100 years of football and all that stuff that they did do. And he was great with the history. In terms of, like, the big storylines that I think a lot of us like to tune into shows for, I don't know how Bill would handle that. And I think Bill would be funny, but I think it would be like a lot of dry humor. And I don't know if that would work week in and week out on a show. Like, I guess if you put him on the NFL Today, or you put him on the Fox pregame show or an ESPN pregame show, you know, he could be fine. He could be good. I don't, like, I think it would be fascinating to hear him as a color analyst. Just, that actually probably would be the best in the booth. Now, just when you have him breaking down just the football stuff, play in and play out. But I think this guy should be back coaching. And I don't need to see Bill Belichick on TV. Yeah, I know Saban. It appears that Saban is, like, a lot of people think he's going to do game day next year, and he's going to be the heir apparent to on the coaching side to replace Lee Corso. I think Saban on game day could be good. Belichick, I think, would be fine on TV. It would be interesting, but I don't know if it would make necessarily for week in and week out good television. The guy should coach, though, and just get this deal with Atlanta already done with. It's It's crazy that it may not get done now after everyone thought it was going to get done. It's just, it's a little ridiculous. It's like, why isn't the deal getting done? Like, Arthur Blank, it comes down to, do you want to hire Bill Belichick? If you do, hire him. If you don't, why don't you want to hire him? Because it seems like you were so all in on hiring him a week ago. And if it's just because some people in your building are afraid that they'll eventually lose their jobs, well, then you shouldn't have been interested in Bill Belichick in the first place. Anyway, I do a lot of radio interviews around the country. And I thought this question I got in a weekly spot that I do with Mark Hochman and Channing Crowder was a great question today. You're picking in the NFL draft tomorrow. You could have Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. How would you order those quarterbacks? And I did this in the moment, and I stand by it. And I think the take that I gave in the moment, 2 and 3 was tough. But the take that I gave in the moment, I'll explain it now fully and why I did this. Number one, it would be Joe Burrow. I think out of the 5 quarterbacks they mentioned, Love, Tua, Hurts, Herbert, Burrow, Burrow is by far and away the best quarterback out of the 5. And not only is he the best quarterback, he got Cincinnati to an AFC title game and also a Super Bowl. Right, 2 AFC title games and a Super Bowl. The only potential scare with Joe Burrow are injuries because he's had 2 season-ending injuries. But the upend and the high point of Burrow is that great where he's the only guy that legitimately has been able to tug in that cape of Superman in Patrick Mahomes and take it for like a year. It's been that sensational that I run the risk with the injuries. Like, it is a big risk because of the injuries, but the reward is so high. So Burrow's one. Then at number 2, like, when I do my top 10 quarterback rankings this summer, as that will be a summer topic here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, I would not put this guy on this list in front of, in those rankings, Jalen Hurts. But in terms of 1 through 5 I'm drafting, and I'm thinking about the quarterbacks for the next 10 years, I would put Justin Herbert in front of Jalen Hurts on this list. Like right now, I don't think Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. But Jalen Hurts had one great year. And then this past year, I think it was more of a bad environment why Hurts did struggle. But with how many hits Hurts takes, because they have him run so much, I do get concerned about the longevity of Jalen Hurts. And I do believe that Herbert, his career has been good, but it hasn't been great because I think it's been more so he's been failed by the coaches around him, and I hope they make the right hire in replacing Brandon Staley. So I would go Herbert 2, and then I would put Jalen Hurts in at 3. And Jalen Hurts, I don't believe he's as bad as what he played this year, and once again, I do think it was more of an environment of just a bad culture and a poor locker room. But that's also on the quarterback, too, to uplift that. And the same could be said for Justin Herbert that it could be said for Jalen Hurts, but they ask him to run the ball so much in Philadelphia. That's why right now I've been so adamant that the Eagles need to change head coaches because you have a window of a few years to go win a title. Because you're asking so much out of your quarterback right now. You don't get it done in this next year to like 4 years or so. I don't know what Jalen Hurts' body's going to look like 4 or 5 years from now with all the hits that he does take. And we all know the guy's in magnificent shape. Like, I've been in that Eagles locker room. Jalen Hurts' like legs, right? They're just tree trunks. They're enormous, absolutely enormous. In at number 4, I know this is going to annoy people by who I put 5. It's Jordan Love 4. And I put 2 of 5. And here's the difference between Jordan Love and Tua. I think I know what Tua's ceiling is. I think Tua, his ceiling in this league is just being a good quarterback. I don't think Tua is a great quarterback. And in what's in Tua's best season in the NFL, which was this past year, what was the real memorable moment for Tua Tagovailoa? The win against the Cowboys, right? Like in any big game this year, he did not really excel. Against the Chiefs, the 2 bad throws at the end. or the fumble snap and then the bad throw, the underthrow, and then it was the fumble snap. You look back at these other performances, like any big game this year, the Dolphins' offense was, for an offense that was such a high-flying, high-octane offense, it was very vanilla. For Jordan Love, this was in year number one as a starting quarterback. And Jordan Love got better as the season did go on. And Jordan Love won the first round up against the Cowboys, destroyed them. And then in round number two, yeah, he threw a big-time costly interception when they could have gotten to field goal range and we would have seen if Carlson would have got the field goal. But with how little experience that he had, you're going to expect some of those, I know he's not a rookie, but what feels like rookie mistakes to happen with Jordan Love. So I believe Jordan Love has a higher ceiling than Tua Tagovailoa. And even though Tua, and I picked the Dolphins on the AFC East before the start of the year, and I know Tua didn't do that, even though they were leading for most of the year, but Tua has now dealt with a bunch of injuries where the next concussion that he gets is going to be a big conversation about Tua. Thankfully, whether it was the jujitsu and the falling and all that stuff this year, Tua didn't really suffer any injuries. But the moment he suffers an injury, that conversation's going to reappear. So that was a good question. But if I'm looking for the next 10 years, which quarterback would I want to draft out of the five that they gave me? Burrow would be one. Herbert would be two. Hurts would be three. I thought that was the toughest decision to decipher Hurts and Herbert. Then Jordan Love would be four. And Tua Tagovailoa would be five. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. This week is really flying by. Only two more shows left this week. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We'd like to thank John Rothstein, CBS Sports college basketball reporter, insider, joining us on behalf of FanDuel, America's number one sports book. John Rothstein says what Dan Hurley's doing at UConn right now is Calhoun-esque, as UConn won a national championship last year, and now they are the number one team in the country. They've never been to back-to-back Final Fours. They're trying to do that this upcoming season. Also like to thank Bart Winkler for joining us in the first ever installment of Winkler Wednesdays. He'll be joining us most Wednesdays right here on CBS Sports Radio at 4:40 p.m. Eastern, 1:40 p.m. Pacific. I always like listening to Bart, having Bart on the show. You can listen to Bart weeknights, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, right here on CBS Sports Radio. And then a few moments ago, Drew Tranquil joining us from the Kansas City Chiefs inside the Chiefs facility. Appreciate him for jumping on board. All righty, we're going to have a show dinner. Stu, Santer, get ready. We're about to eat a lot of porterhouse steak, some bacon, some cream spinach, some lobster mac. Who knows? Maybe even we'll throw in a wedge salad as well so we can pretend to be healthy, even though that's not really healthy. We'll talk mañana, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great night. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.